Rundgren.
Welcome to Insider Profile. I'm your host, Paul Schindler. Insider Profile is brought to you by TechWeb, the technology supersite, the latest news and features about computers, computing, and high-tech finance. Find it at www.techweb.com. As a songwriter, video pioneer, producer, recording artist, computer software developer and programmer, conceptualist, interactive artist, and CEO, Todd Rundgren has made a lasting impact on the form, content, and delivery of popular music. And now he's doing it on the internet. At his website, www.wakingdreams.com, and here on Insider Profile. We started by asking Todd about the state of audio on the internet.
There are two issues involving audio on the net. There's audio that you get streaming on demand, and then there's audio that you would download like any other kind of file and then play off of your hard disk. And audio in that form always was as good a quality as you wanted to spend in terms of downloading time. A lot of the new codecs and stuff for compressing audio will reduce that down, but to get what they call CD quality over a streaming line, a lot of people have considered that the challenge, but aside from the fact that most systems really don't deliver anything resembling CD quality streaming on demand over the internet, there's a question of whether you would even want to do such a thing, given that quality is an element of the product you would be selling. So if people want to market audio over the internet, that greater quality that sort of requires non-streaming download times is actually part of what you're selling people. It's already possible for a certain amount of commerce to happen in terms of audio. The action is happening around sort of broadcast standards and other streaming standards in which the quality is ideally something more like a cassette tape or AM radio, something where you can hear what's going on, you get a reasonable facsimile of what the sound quality is actually like, and most importantly, you get it without a bunch of glitches and dropouts. And those are the challenges at this point, I think.
Now, you made it sound for a moment as though you think there's still some life in non-streaming audio delivery on the internet.
I think that the two approaches would work in tandem. You would be able to sample somebody's music using streaming, and then if you decided you really liked it, you go to an FTP site or something like that, set your machine to start downloading, and then go to sleep or go away, do something else. And then when you come back, you've got, you know, the full fidelity version, although probably in a compressed format on your disk somewhere. And the next step is simply to either record it to a cassette tape, or in the near future there'll be writable disk drives connected either to your PC or possibly to your set-top box, however it is that you access the internet, that can automatically take that file once it's downloaded and write it out onto a disk. And so you can actually design and build your own CDs at home simply by shopping for the music that you want over the web using the streaming technologies and then having in non-real time the files downloaded and written out to another device.
Tell me about Waking Dreams.
We had all these things, but we built them for my purposes and weren't really exploiting them otherwise. So we figured, why not form a little corporation to sort of develop these ideas, productize them, and give them to other people to use.
Where do you think the internet is going in terms of audio? Is this going to be a more serious audio medium than it is now?
I think that the internet's greatest potential is in the delivery of electronic media that, although we're used to getting it now in the form of perhaps a plastic disc at the end of a long distribution chain, can just as easily be delivered as bits to people and eliminate a lot of the middleman, change the economics of the relationship between the audience or consumer and the creator of the product.
There's a long tradition of passive entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to move us out into interactive entertainment, and why are you confident that people want interactive entertainment?
My model for interactivity has always been one in which people sometimes do and sometimes don't interact. The same way that if you sit down to watch the television and you've got your 50 channels of cable, you know, and you'll sit there clicking away until you see something that you find entertaining, in which case you go into a passive mode. And as soon as that stops entertaining you, or you get the idea, you know, there's something better somewhere else, you start clicking again. You become interactive again. So all of the work that I do takes into account the possibility that people may prefer to be passive. So it all more or less runs by itself, unless you decide to do something, and then you have a range of options, a number of pathways that you can go down to change the circumstance of your experience. How that's affected my work is that almost everything I do is now sensitive to the possibility of being found in another context, of suddenly something that looks linear suddenly being nonlinear, of the fact that people may want to, just for informational purposes, examine some subset of what you're doing. So when I mix a record now, for instance, I don't mix just one mix, the so-called ideal mix. I also mix anywhere from 3 to 6 other versions of that song, some of which I may just mix the instrumentals with no vocals, vocals with no instrumentals, strip down rhythm section and vocals, or maybe just rhythm section, various combinations of instruments that might become useful later in contexts where people may want more choice, maybe taking music that I've made and recontextualizing it with other music. In other words, there's a lot of music nowadays that has been based on previously successful music, and to me, kind of like one of the things that started it all was, you know, was MC Hammer doing You Can't Touch This. All he did was take a Rick James song and write his own song over top of it. He used Rick James' original track, the instrumental vamp from a Rick James record, looped it over and over, and wrote a different song on top of it. And this is going to start happening more and more. The most successful movie of all time is a movie that's been made 20 years ago and just re-released. But you're going to discover that humanity has reached a plateau in terms of its creative output, and that so much of what's done is imitative of stuff that already exists, that there's going to be less and less so-called original work, and there's going to be more and more recontextualized work.
And instead of fighting that, you're just going to make it easier by having those multiple mixes out there somewhere in cyberspace?
Well, you know, I didn't decide that this is how things would happen. I kind of, like, I saw two headlights in the distance, you know, and then I said, well, what is that? Most people will wait until they hear the truck horn before they react to it.
You've been listening to Insider Profile, brought to you by TechWeb, the technology supersite. The latest news and features about computers, computing, and high-tech finance. Find it at www.techweb.com. I'm your host, Paul Schindler. We'll be back next week with another Insider Profile.